One session. I'm Anish Malathi from the University of Georgia. Before I get started, I just wanted to mention that what I'll be presenting today is actually part of my PhD student's dissertation work. She'll be defending in a few months, later this fall, and if anyone is looking for an excellent postdoc, she's the one. So please talk to me after this, and I'll get you in touch with Chan. What I'll be talking about is the transcriptomics analysis of spatial and temporal regression in apple fruit growth. Fruit size is a really important trait, a very valuable commercial trait, not just in apples, but a variety of other fruit crops as well, like peaches and so on. And one of the things that we have been interested for a very long time in our lab is in terms of understanding the regulation of fruit size. How is it that the final fruit size is attained? And the ultimate goal with that is to be able to, you know, go from a smaller sized fruit to a larger sized fruit. And the approach that we have taken for this is really to understand the whole fruit growth and development process, you know, starting from the point when the flowers are still present or even not yet formed completely, all the way up to bloom time and subsequently, you know, early fruit development, late and mid and late fruit development. The idea behind this is simply that if you understand the fruit growth and developmental process and are able to figure out the mechanisms that are controlling those processes, then you'll be able to get a better handle on how it is that that final fruit size is attained. And then you can develop those tools in order to be able to manipulate fruit size. Fruit growth in apple is really a product of two main processes, cell production and expansion. And both these processes are temporally dominant during different phases of fruit development. So if you take a look at what's going on right here, let's see if I can get the pointer. So during the early part of fruit growth, fruit development in apple, there's a lot of cell growth that is taking place. There's very massive amounts of cell growth that is taking place. And there is an associated activity of cell division that is also happening. And it is really this increase in cell production and the generation of those new cells that is contributing to that increase in growth during that early part of development. Subsequently, you know, the majority of growth is really mediated by cell expansion. In fact, the vast majority of growth that takes place within the apple fruit is really happening, really speaking, because of cell expansion. But you can see how these two processes are somewhat temporally separated. Not entirely, but somewhat separated. In addition to that, apple is, you know, somewhat unique, you know, and different from other model fruit crops in the sense that it's a foam fruit, and the majority of the fleshy portion of this fruit is really derived from axillary tissue. Okay, and in this case, it's thought to be the basal portion of the sepals mostly, and partly, you know, some petal tissue as well as anther tissue that is really contributing to what is referred to as the cortex of the fruit, the vast majority of the fleshy portion. And the actual ovarian tissue is somewhat localized towards the inside of the fruit, essentially where the pith is present. And these are two distinct tissue types, and there are spatial, potentially spatial differences in terms of, you know, how cell production or expansion processes might be going on within these different regions of the fruit, not to mention the different cell types that might be present in the fruit itself. This is a pretty dirty look actually at the pith and the cortex tissues, and even here you can actually see that, you know, the orientation of cells within the pith is really different from that of the cortex cells. Okay, so the idea here is that, you know, the question rather is whether cell production and expansion mechanisms are similar within the pith tissue and the cortex, or whether they are really somewhat largely different. So the approach that we took to answer this question, or to at least address this, is to manipulate, you know, carbohydrate availability using thinning. And Shan decided to do spatiotemporal analysis of fruit growth. So more specifically, she decided to look at, you know, how it is that the cortex and the pith tissues are growing during different phases of development. And she also performed transcriptomics analysis at different stages to identify genes that might be regulating growth within these tissues. So we used Golden Delicious for this study. Fruit crop load reduction was performed around 11 days after full bloom, wherein we went and manually removed the lateral fruits and just retained the king fruit. And we've subsequently followed diameter growth and length, increase in length over time. And you can kind of see that, you know, as expected, there was an increase in the size in the diameter of the fruit as well as the length of the fruit because of the reduction in crop load. When we actually started looking at the cortex and pith tissue specifically, What we noticed was that if you looked at what was going on within the cortex, really speaking, the cortex and the pit started off with relatively similar sizes, but very early on, the cortex tissue started having a very rapid increase in the size. So you're essentially looking at the area as a profile. If you take a vertical section through the fruit and if you scan it and do image analysis on it, but it seemed to show a very rapid increase in terms of the size, and that kind of continued during the rest of fruit growth and development. Within the pit, there was really little growth that was taking place. And that's kind of what is shown right here. Let me go back. But if you magnify that, what you can actually see is that during that early part of fruit development, where there's typically a lot of cell production that is going on within the cortex, there's really not much happening within the pit tissue. Subsequently, though, there is somewhat of a slight increase in the size even within the pit, but it's really minor compared to what's happening within the cortex. On top of that, thinning seems to specifically increase growth that is taking place within the cortex, not necessarily within the pit itself. So after this, Chan decided to do RNA-seq analysis, and we selected three different stages for this: 8 days after thinning, 19, and 47 days. So the idea here was to simply look at different stages of development, and to specifically pick stages where there's intensive cell production that is happening, where there's somewhat of a transition taking place from cell production to expansion, and then subsequently just concentrating on cell expansion alone. And that's kind of what is shown here with these two genes, which are positively and negatively associated with cell production. So what she did was that she collected these fruits and specifically separated the cortex and pit tissues at these stages, and then analyzed these transcriptomes across these three stages, across those tissues, and also in response to thinning. And this is a heat map of the data that was generated from this. To try and summarize this, there's a couple of things that stand out from this. If you take a look across this figure right here, what you have here are 8 days after thinning, 19, and 47 days after thinning. And really, this is the major difference in terms of the transcriptome profile. You know, over time is where you really see the major differences in terms of changes in gene expression, which is not really that new. It's something that people have seen before. But one of the things that we found was that if you actually looked even within a specific date and compared the cortex and the pit tissues, there were vast differences in the transcriptome profiles of the cortex and the pit. So even at an early stage, such as 8 days after thinning, which is roughly around 20 days after bloom, you're already seeing very major differences in the transcriptomes of the pit and the cortex tissues. In response to thinning, if you kind of take a look at 19 days after thinning and compare the thinning and control treatments, there are differences in gene expression that are going on, but not as major as what were really happening in terms of those spatial differences within the pit and the cortex. Kind of suggesting really that, the pit and the cortex, at least as far as the transcriptome is concerned, they're pretty different. So one of the things that we were interested in is in terms of identifying, genes that are associated with the traits that they're interested in, and specifically the trait that we were looking at was the relative the growth rate itself. So there is this one analysis that you can do, weighted gene co-expression network analysis. What it does is that it takes the genes and it kind of puts them together in terms of co-expression modules, and then you can subsequently take those modules and then see what their relationship is to the traits that you're interested in. So when we did this, what we with a variety of different traits, including the relative growth rate, what we found was that there was one particular module which is called module ivory here, which had a pretty substantial and significant negative correlation with the relative growth rate trait. When we look further at this particular module and looked at the different genes that are present within it, we found that one of the top genes that was present within this module was this particular gene that belonged to the teosinte branch 1 cycloidea and PCNA factor 1 family. And it showed very strong membership correlation within that module, and it also showed very good correlation with the relative tissue growth rate trait. And this TCP family is really a large family of transcription factors. In Arabidopsis, there's about 24 different genes. They're broadly grouped into two separate categories, class 1 and class 2. Class 1, which is right here, is really they're thought to be positive regulators of cell production, while the class 2 are generally considered to be, for the most part, negative regulators of cell production. Class 2, again, you have two subgroups that are present. You have one which is subgroup Cincinnata, and the other one is subgroup Cycloidea TSND branch 1. The gene that we identified essentially belonged to the subgroup Cincinnata. When we looked at the expression profile of this gene during different stages of fruit growth and development, we kind of saw a couple of interesting patterns. One was that this particular gene was expressed to much higher levels within the pith tissue in comparison to the cortex. Again, that is consistent with the idea that there is probably not as much cell production that is going on within the pith tissue, okay? Because this, and it is consistent with the idea that this particular gene may be a negative regulator of cell production. Also, during this early intense period of cell production, that generally the expression of this gene was lower and seemed to increase over time, as in when, you know, there was a transition from cell production to expansion, the expression of this gene seemed to go up. In case of Arabidopsis, specifically with leaf growth, there's a new model that has been developed, which has been developed. It's kind of a regulatory cascade which involves this TCP gene. And one of the things that this gene seems to do is to be able to negatively regulate growth regulating factors, or what are called as GRFs, and which are really in turn positive regulators of cell production. And it's also able to positively regulate KRP gene, which is a KIP-related protein, again, a negative regulator of cell division. And that, again, might influence the cell production process within the leaves. So we looked at, the KRP genes and the GRF and GIF cofactor genes within apple. And one of the things that we found was that, one of the genes, KRP4, which we have previously identified as a negative regulator of cell production, seemed to display an expression pattern which was very similar to that of this TCP gene that we identified, okay, consistent with the idea that it might be, that they may be involved in a similar cascade. And interestingly, this KRP4 gene within its promoter region actually has a binding motif for this TCP transcription factor. And the GRF genes, the growth regulating factor, when we looked at the expression of those, they displayed higher expression during the early stages of fruit development and lower expression during later stages, basically, displaying higher expression during the cell production period. And similarly, we noticed that with this GIF cofactor as well. And also we saw some spatial differences in terms of their expression pattern. So with this data, what we are proposing is a model which involves the TCP2 gene that we have identified from our RNA-seq analysis. And one of the ideas here that we are putting forth is that this may positively regulate the expression of the KIP-related protein, which is in turn going to act as a negative regulator of cell division within the apple fruit. And through a microRNA pathway, this TCP gene may also, the TCP protein might also be involved in down-regulating, growth-regulating factors, which in turn normally promote cell production within the apple fruit. So all this is happening in not just a temporal fashion, but even within a spatial context. There are very specific differences among these, the expression of these genes within the pith and the cortex tissues as well. So this is, as you can see, it's a pretty early stage of this model, and we are hoping to be able to take this forward in terms of being able to functionally characterize different components of this pathway. But the point that I'm trying to get across is really that this might be a nice module, somewhat similar to the leaf growth module that has been proposed in Arabidopsis, and it may be one of those modules that is important as far as regulation of growth within the apple fruit. Okay. With that, I'd like to acknowledge a few people. John is a technician and a graduate student in my lab. He has been really helpful in terms of setting up many of these experiments within the field, and multiple undergraduate students who have over the time contributed to this project and have also been involved with other processes, other projects that are going on within the lab, and our favorite hangout, Dairy Queen. But with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you very much. Time for a quick question.